Looking toward Genesis chapter 24. If that sounds familiar, it's because that's where we were last Sunday, and that's where we will be next Sunday. So just put your pencil in there or flag it some way. I wasn't in here earlier, so I don't know if we've had a prayer for different ones. Roy and Jean are out. Roy and Jean not being here is like not having oxygen. They are here all the time. And Roy's in the hospital up here at HEB. We want to remember him. Of course, Jean and James in our prayers today. Others that are got the flu. You got the flu. You stay at home, okay? Don't share. I know it's more blessed to give than to receive, not the flu, okay? Bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful for your presence and your promise to be with us today. And we come here together, and not only to fellowship with one another and see friends and folks that we don't see often. We pray, Lord, that we're here to meet with you, for the promise that you have said you would meet with us. We ask you to speak into our hearts and our lives today, the things that we need to live a life that's more pleasing to you, that's a life of influence and a life of change. Pray that you'd be with others in our church today, unable to be here. Pray that you bring them back to us in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis last week, we started talking about the new year and how to make this new year a good year and not just another walkthrough where we make resolutions and we set goals and we talk about doing things, and come February, those things are gone. And so we're intentionally doing something the next couple of weeks about following a process of taking some steps. And we've taken the story of Abraham here in the 24th chapter of Genesis. His goal or his purpose here was to find a bride for his son Isaac, and that is the 24th chapter. We see things in this chapter that are like steps to take in order to get where you need to be. And the two that we talked about last week, they're on the notes or not, but the first thing was take time to prepare. Stop, count the cost, figure out whether, you've got this wild idea, this harebrained idea, here's what's going to happen, here's what I'm going to do. You better sit down and count the cost. What's it going to cost you? Do you have the equipment? Do you have what it takes to get it done? The Gospel of Luke, Jesus is teaching his followers how to be reasonable and how to be successful. And he said, listen, before you try anything, before you start anything, sit down and figure if you can do it or not. The worst thing that could happen is you get halfway through and it can't get done. You have to back up. So we've taken that step last week, take the time to prepare. And the second one, after we count the costs, we make a plan. We don't just say we're going to do it. We put steps to it. And that's where we start today. In the 24th chapter, verse number 5, the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? If you're just jumping in on this story, Abraham has taken his oldest, wisest servant, and he has commissioned him, sort of, to go back to the homeland and find a woman there that will be suitable for my son. The servant's like, well, there may be some problems there. And even after Abraham's counted the cost, and even after he gets a plan together, that plan has to be put in motion, and he gets a servant, one of his servants, to do it. And when we talk about developing a plan, we're talking about we're not talking about bottom line. We're talking about the steps that we must take to get there, itemizing the steps or calling them baby steps, more than just saying, hey, I'm going to go find a wife for Isaac. Abraham plans it out. Here's what you do first, here's what you do second, and there is an order to it. The servant's name is Eliezer, and he knows he's going to go back home, back to where they came from. He's going to be meeting a woman that he has never met, and he's going to be asking of her to do something that she's never done, and that is, hey, go back home, go back to my homeland where I work for a man by the name of Abraham. He has a son, and he needs a wife. Would you like to go? That would fit in our culture, okay? I don't think. But that was their culture. That's how marriages took place. It was very much arranged. This is not going to be an everyday request. The servant knows it, and he figures this out. And here's a little bit of wisdom. What if she doesn't come? What if your plan doesn't work? Do we have plan B? Is there, you know, here's A. That works, we're great, but is there a fallback? What do I do if this scheme of yours doesn't work? Perhaps, she says in verse 5, the woman will not be willing to follow me. I'm thinking, if that was in our culture today, that woman's not going to follow you. She's going to do some background checks, wouldn't you? There are going to be some things taken into consideration before she just ups and follows her. He says, must I take your son back? I mean, do I get to show her what she's in for? Can I take your son? If I find a woman that's kind of interested, if she makes the request, if I'd like to see this dude that I'm going to get married to, would it be okay if I took him back? And Abraham's like, no. Verse 6. Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. And the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. If the woman is not willing, in verse number 8, to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. He was adamant about that. Be very clear. Do not come back here and take Isaac back to the homeland. Verse 10. So the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. In other words, anything this servant thought would be helpful in persuading this woman to come back, Abraham said, whatever you need. Take all the camels you want, take all the livestock that you want, take all the gold and the silver that you want. The servant was wise in understanding there's going to be some obstacles. I found this to be true, as probably you have. You would agree with me that most things we set out to do has a little bit of obstacle in the way. There's a little bit of barrier that we have to overcome. Got a problem with it. Now, we think that if God is in this thing and God is going to ask us to do this, then why should there be any problem? Right? Doesn't make sense that God asks us to do something and then let's throw a little difficulty in there, a monkey wrench, so to speak. Why would he do that? Well, there are very few things in my ministry that I have discovered that come easy. There's some difficulty along the way. There's some things that you learn along the way that if it was easy, wouldn't everybody be doing it? Yeah, if it was easy, everybody would be volunteering. But we know that it's not easy. Sometimes to accomplish the things that we need to do in our life takes a little bit of trust. And I want you to understand that while we're talking about these steps, talking about two today, two last Sunday, and next week we're going to finish up with two, behind that was a man's heart that had total trust in God. Regardless of the steps, he had this going for him. In other words, these steps have to be built upon a pretty good foundation. And the foundation that Abraham had going for him was he put faith and trust in God. He knew that if God asked him to do something, then it was reasonable to do it. And up to this point, that's how it had worked out. But now the servant is like, what if she don't want to come? What if this plan fails? And Abraham's like, whatever you think you need to get the job done, whatever's mine, verse 10 says, all the master's goods were in his hand. So he was able to prepare for what might be. Got ready to and understood that sometimes it's not easy. And when we find that, we need to just stop whining and understand that that complaining and that, we talked about it, Archie talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that negativity. Oh, man. You kind of got to get rid of that. Move that off the. There's a solution. He's got it in his hand. Take with him all kinds of goods and things. This became the solution. Sure, it took a little bit of effort. He's carrying a lot more than probably he would, you know, like to, but he's prepared himself for problems. When you work out the details to how you're going to get to where you want to go, just throw in there the likelihood that there'll probably be a little problem. You're probably going to hit a snag. You're probably going to hit something that the devil puts in your way just to see whether you really want it or not. Extra effort, and it pays off. Here's the lesson. Here's the takeaway in this part of the sermon. If God taps you on the shoulder, God speaks into your heart that he wants you to do something for him, that will affect other people. He's going to give you every resource to get that done. Where God leads, he supplies. He doesn't ask you to get out on that limb and figure it out after you get there. He sends you out with all the things that you need to get the job done. One of the missionaries said, God's work done in God's way will not lack God's supply. You do what God wants you to do, one way or the other, things get done. You won't get in trouble over it. It'll just happen. It doesn't make sense that God would ask you to do something and then sit by and let you fail at it, does it? I don't serve a God like that. I don't come to worship a God who is going to go, I'm going to make it so tough on you, you're not going to get to square one. No. Where God guides us, he provides for us. Amen? He's not going to ask you to do something that he's not going to help you get it done. As a matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. I've been preaching in this pulpit for a long time, 43 years. Sometimes it gets so long that I forget how long it's been. But I was in ministry with youth work and with education long before that. I remember starting out, and my first sermon was five pages, five sheets of that yellow notepad, every word. And I went up to my home church the afternoon before I was supposed to preach and got in the building and read my 5 pages. And I thought, man, that's going to be a great sermon. People are going to be amazed by this. It took about 3 minutes to read through. And I was even quicker than Archie. 3 minutes. When I first came here, there were people, you don't say this anymore. Maybe you just gave up. But back there was a day when people would walk out the door and say, you're going to be a good preacher one day. You know, I don't know if that was a compliment or a backhanded slap, you know. I hadn't heard that in a while. This was not something that was on my to-do list. And when God called me to set me apart to do this, I'm like, hey, it's going to be hard. Here's one of the verses. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. It is a matter of you jumping in. It's not a matter of God being a partner with you. It is a matter of you jumping in. You getting your feet wet. Getting started to the place where God comes along beside you and helps you get it done. The Bible says in Ephesians, we are His workmanship, created for good works. God created you. He created me. We're unique. I'm not like you. You're not like me. That'd be boring if everybody was the same, right? Somebody wouldn't be necessary. We're unique. God created us in a special way for a special purpose, and my job and your job is to find what that is and get it done. Stop comparing. Stop, I can't do that, or I can't. Begin living using the skills that are in your hands, the talents that God has blessed you with to accomplish the things He wants you to do. That's how we get the job done. First step, then, develop a plan. The second thing this morning we want to talk about is keep yourself encouraged. There are going to be those times. You and I know good people who, if they would just have hung in there a little bit longer, it would be a different story. But the seed of discouragement, we throw in the towel because it's too hard. We throw in the towel because it's too tall, too long, too hard, too uncomfortable, too lonely. There's all kinds of reasons why people give up. Now, if we're talking about making this new year a good year, giving up's not going to be an option. Quitting, stopping, putting the brakes on, pulling over and putting life in neutral, it's not an option. One of the devil's most effective weapons, whether it's in church life, business life, any phase of life whatsoever, one of his most effective weapons is to get you down. Depressed, discouraged. The devil can't get you to the point of where you stay lost. If he can't keep you lost, if he can't keep you separated from God, and you break through that and you come and give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, he doesn't give up on you. You notice that? He doesn't leave. Doesn't go away. He stays, but he brings something else. If he can't keep you from believing in God, if he can't keep you from trusting in the Lord to be your personal Savior, he wants to keep you defeated and depressed and discouraged. I read a verse in Scripture, and I kind of read it backwards. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." Okay, don't give up because you're doing good. Here's what I read. Doing good, hard work. Doing what you're supposed to do is hard work. If it wasn't hard work, why would he write, "Don't grow weary while doing good"? He is telling us. He's putting up the billboard. You're going to wear out. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to give up if you're not careful. If you're busy about doing good, you're always helping people. If you're always doing what other people need, you're making a difference in the world. That's not easy work. But don't give up. Don't get discouraged. The rest of that verse talks about reaping, about a harvest. And it may not come while we're on this earth. We may not see it with our earthly eyes, but when we get to heaven and those that our life has affected come up and say, "It's because you did this, I'm here today. It's because you didn't give up, I'm here today. Thank you. Thank you for not getting depressed. Thank you for not being discouraged. Thank you for not giving in." Look at verse. Here's a key. "The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land.'" Next sentence. "He will send his angels before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there." You know what Abraham told him? "What God has done for me, he can do for you." That's good stuff. When you read biographies, you hear of things of what God has done through other people's life, you can claim that. What he has done for others, he'll do for you. When God gives you a promise, it's just like when he gave anybody else a promise. He'll come through. What he's done for others, that'll keep you encouraged. That'll keep the fire going. Abraham's not saying, "Be dependent upon me." And Abraham's not saying, "I'm dependent upon you." He is saying, together, we're dependent on God. We know what God can do. We know what he's up to. We know what he has done in the past. Therefore, he's able to do it in the future. Abraham looks back at his life. And he said, "Listen, here's what he did. He's done all of this for me. And what he did for me, he can do for you." Eliezer walked away believing that the same God that Abraham served is the same God that he's serving, and God's going to answer his prayer. In your life and in your problem situation, in your difficult moments, don't give up. You remember what God has done. You have some kind of an experience in the back that you can go, "Hey, you know, I was in trouble before, and I prayed, and I talked, and I did some things in my life, and God seemed to come through." And what he's done in the past, if he did that back then, can he do that right now? Of course he can. And that was one of the things that kept him encouraged, was the fact that Abraham reminded him, here's what God has done, and here's what God can do, and here's what God will do. Our measure, our capacity of our faith and our trust in God comes from our experiences with God. If you haven't had very many experiences, you have very little faith. Remember last week we talked about we stretch our faith and we get this far. God comes and blesses and gets us this far. So this year we take a couple more steps over here. Based on what? Hope? No. Based on the fact that he got us this far last year, can get me this far this year. Last week, you remember you wrote on those cards? By the way, some of you turned in your white cards. You were to turn in your prayer things, okay? So if you want them back, I still have them. And I kept the others. I've made big mark 2018. And I plan to send them back to you in December. You can send me mine. Remember what my three were? Well, I'm not going to remind you. I gave them to you last week. Because God has done something for us in the past, we believe He can do something for us in the future. Some of those goals you guys put down, pretty good. As a matter of fact, I've talked to Archie. Seems like more than most put down, I'd like to get out of debt. Now, if that's your goal, great. We want to help you. We've got the tools. We've got the resources of Dave Ramsey, Archie's financial dude around here. We're going to get him to go through that again. He's done it once with us. So when you see that coming up on the calendar, jump in there and take part, participate with that. That's going to help you get your goal. When we set goals, it's based upon what God has spoken and what God has done. Our capacity for faith, our capacity to trust God is based upon what He has done. What was yesterday? Abraham said, He did this for me once. He'll do it for us now. His faith, based upon his experiences and upon what the Bible has to say. When you know what the Bible has to say, you can go in there and take that promise out of there, can't you? When you feel like everybody has deserted you, there's a promise here. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll not turn my back on you. You give your life to me, I'm there closer. I stick closer than a brother would. That's a promise. If you don't know your Bible and you don't know that's in there, you can't claim it. What we know from the Scripture, which says mountains to me. Every time somebody says, hey, we're going to have a Bible study, I'm going to jump in there and go, okay, I'm going to go learn some Bible. Because I'm going to pull away from the Bible the things I need. My knowledge of what the Bible says and my knowledge of what God has done is the sum total of my faith and trust. I can't put my faith and trust in something I don't know anything about. So I find out about God. I discover Him. Which says this, if I'm going to be encouraged, I don't have to do that myself. I can lean on God and I can draw from Him, His strength and His power to encourage me. When I start running low, when I start running slow, I lean upon God and He empowers. Writer of the book of Zechariah says, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, the Lord of hosts. It's tapping into God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not bragging that he's strong. He is saying, I can do it through Christ. He can come through me and do it in me. Paul wrote, in another place, that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As we read this book, as we know more about this book, our faith grows. Again, let me read verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher, that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you've appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. He's saying, you've done this in the past for Abraham. Now I'm claiming it. I want you to do this right now. As these women are coming out to draw water, I'm going to say to one, can I get a drink? And she's going to say, yeah. And I'm going to go back and get more water for your camels. By that right there, I'll know this is, I mean, that's a strange way to get a bride, isn't it? But that was the situation with Eliezer. I wonder, so we talk about this story here. Is that your relationship with God? Is it in such that you can call upon Him? Can you remind Him, hey, you did it for that guy. You can do it for me. Is that the relationship that you have with the Lord? Can you call on Him, reminding of what He has said, what He has done, and ask Him to do the same for you? Let's bow our heads. Go to the Lord in prayer. You have a vision, you have a plan, you have a goal. Is it clear what God wants to do through your life? Your life, not somebody else, not the person behind you or beside you, but your life. Does God want you to grow more? Does He want you to take that next step? Does He want you to stretch your faith? Get past just being comfortable. Get involved somewhere in some church doing something that makes a difference. Maybe God setting you up to overcome an obstacle or a habit in your life. Maybe He's moved you into a position where you're supposed to encourage somebody. You're going to be the guy this year that lifts up somebody else. And this is what God laying on your heart. Maybe it's to begin a walk with Him and a right relationship with Him. Ask Him into your life to be your Lord and Savior, forgive you of your sins, give you that home in heaven, that promise of everlasting life, that freedom from sin. Somewhere along the way, you fit in. Somewhere in that list, you see yourself. I ask you this morning to put your trust in Him.